Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
It was 31 August, 1888, Buck's Row, Whitechapel, London, England. When in the evening time, there was a body found, a body of a woman that was cut up quite extensively. Her name was Marianne Nichols. She was a lady of the night. And the event actually caught the eye of the press. On the 8th of September, just a little over a week later, another body was found, very similar to the first body. Her name was Annie Chapman. From there, the police realized they had something bigger than just an individual murder in Whitechapel. They had the potential of someone who was killing several women. On 30 September 1888, Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Eddowes were each found dead. And they said it was the same killer. By that time, the press went nuts. the United Kingdom had had serial killers in the past, but they'd never had one that was so entwined into the press, into the worldwide image, that it caused an absolute frenzy in the world. It was called Ripper Mania at the time. And then on 9 November 1888, another body was found. That was what they considered the last one, Mary Jane Kelly. Because after that, the authorities at Whitechapel said there were no more murders. But here's the deal. What if there were? What if there was more Jack the Ripper murders? Different murders from around the world. Were we seeing copycats? Or is there a way that Jack the Ripper could have traveled to these places? Three victims were found in Jamaica late in November in 1888. In January 1889, six women were killed, very similar to Jack the Ripper, in Managua, Nicaragua. Then on 17 July 1889, another woman murdered in Whitechapel. The first person who examined the body said, this one should be the sixth Jack the Ripper victim. But another person, his supervisor, said, no, it's not the same person. Then, over the next few years, Flensburg, Germany, Hurley, Wisconsin, Bethen, Germany, Bern, Switzerland, New Jersey City, New Jersey, another one in Berlin, another one in New Jersey, Berlin, and then New York City. All of them very, very similar in stature to Jack the Ripper. What if this was the killer all along? We're going to explore these possibilities, and we're going to talk about Jack the Ripper in tonight's episode of Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem. First of all, I'd like to welcome everybody and introduce my co-host for the night, Sweet Pea. Hello, Sweet.
Hello, JCA. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Very excited about tonight. Looking forward. I've done, putting a lot of research and a lot of elbow grease into this one. So kind of excited and see where it goes.
I am very excited about tonight. Jack the Ripper is probably one of the most studied, sought out, serial killer of several decades or several generations. And so many theories and so many thought processes. The guy everybody wants to know who he was and the whys and the hows and what he was thinking. So I'm very excited to see what you have for us tonight. I know you've done so many studies and, you know, cases and been looking at it for years. So I'm sure you have a lot of good stuff for us.
Excellent. For a little admin right now, a team of voices want to thank AP Taylor Foundation fitting the bill for this channel. I want to also recognize the intro song written by Jay Hatter, and sung by Shout Even Shy. And without a doubt, let's also thank and welcome in Deb. Hey, Deb.
Hey, Jay. Glad to be here. Hey, Sweet.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Doing good.
And lastly, I got one more person on the line, and that happens to be Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne.
Hello, guys. How you doing? Got a couple of spooky hosts tonight. You and Sweet Pea made a couple of nice goals tonight, so it's going to be a good team.
Hey, it's all spooky when it comes to Jack the Ripper. This right here is a very fascinating subject in itself. Everybody has an idea of who they think Jack the Ripper may be. Over 150 suspects have been named, with some of the most ridiculous ones in the world to some that, you know, kind of raise your eyebrows and make you look and make you think that, hey, that's a possibility. That's a very good possibility. There's been countless numbers of books written about it. But ultimately, when we take a look at the case of Jack the Ripper, it is probably the most publicized and recognized unsolved case in British history, second to none. I mean, there is no other one that stands tall. And when we're talking about that time in British history, we don't have just one unsolved serial killer. We have several unsolved serial killers, but none of them took the press by storm, the worldwide press by storm, like Jack the Ripper did. Jack the Ripper was put on the front page in countless amount of countries. Everybody was following the drama, following what's going to happen next. And from there, you had the five victims. They call them, I'm going to get this right, they called them the Canicle victims. The Canicle Five is what they call them, because they're the five that are recognized as being the most likely to have been killed by that one person that they call Jack the Ripper. But ultimately, there were people who looked throughout the world. They were really on top of it, looking, okay, is there another murder that could come up that could be Jack the Ripper? Why did he stop at five and all of a sudden there were no more? And that's where you get several of these news articles from around the world. The timeline has it going from the first murder on 31 August 1888 to the last of the five was 9 November 1888. And from there, you were looking for what's next, what happens next. In all the time I've looked at serial killers, I haven't seen a situation where a serial killer just stopped. And a lot of people count that to, oh, there's a possibility he was incarcerated or institutionalized or just plain died. And sure, that could have been the case, but we're going to go ahead and look at the possibility, what if that wasn't the case. So what I'm going to do is start out the show. Deb, I'm going to let you go ahead and read your poem first.
Awesome. Grabbing it. And just, it's labeled adult for, oh, you grabbed it, thank you, for gore more than anything. It's not a sexual poem, just saying. And I wrote this from the perspective of what if I was victim six, or as if I was victim six. Okay, and here we go. This is called Ripped to Pieces. With light peeking out from the darkness, goldenrod sunset hues dip in the horizon. Thick fog churns, and moonbeams stalk me. The air holds chills from the breeze tonight. Then the skin grows cold and warm, salted teardrops spill. Being camouflaged by shadows. Cupboards and pantries at home hold no groceries, and my stomach roars as I walk the streets, sniffing food that's cooking in the houses on the block. How do I climb up from this dark slum if sleep cannot silence the nightmare fueling the world around me? I did not see him, but goosebumps ignite, and those crawl as horror heightens and silence is broken by footsteps. Stomps grow louder, taps faster, closer. Screams stick in my throat from the lodged lump, trapping my swallow. Feet speed up, pulse jackhammers in my ears, driving me to run. Trip and fall, shredding my knees and skinning my elbows, leaving chunks of skin on the pavement with flesh bleeding and cascading down on the cobblestone street. Pebbles embed in scraped flesh, stinging as blood trickles down the shins, pushing myself to stand as he grips my arm. I fight the attack. He rips off my clothes, paws exploiting my body with his flesh and with sharp metal instruments. Fighting. His giant fist clobbers me, eyes swell, fading in, then out. Passed out from the burning ache and now laying naked in the crimson puddle that oozed from scalpel gashes. My fight runs out with him, sitting here with me, his breath echo loud and heartbeats pound. Striking and ripping, he swings again, cutting my body apart, slashing my abdomen and gashing the ovaries. Then he lacerates my liver and spleen, then disembowels me as the muffled whimpers leave my lips. In one swoosh, he slits my throat, ear to ear, severing the jugular. Gasp and gurgle, drowning in the blood-red flow with my brain squealing, struggle, fight, but my body cannot move. Death hovers over me, then turning to the doorway, he scampers off. Mouth motions to yell, but no sound passes my lips. Hot, salted teardrops slip over bloodied ash-white cheeks, dying, cold, sobbing, alone, death. Call me victim six. Jack the Ripper just killed me. End poem.
That was amazing. And yes, you have grasped some of the intricacies of what Jack the Ripper did to some of his victims. You mentioned the ovaries, the liver, the spleen, and the disemboweling. All of that happened. If I were to explain every single thing, this we would lose our ratedness here, but I won't. But he did mess with the organs. One of the common things that he would do is he would slit his victim's throat, and there is no way that they would be able to scream. Definitely no way that he would be able to scream. So you captured just about everything within this particular poem. The very first bit when she was found, she was found in a way that two passerbys found her, and they thought she was drunk, so they didn't want to bother with her, and they were like, one of them was like, should we move her? Another one was like, nah, just leave her be. We can go get a constable. So they got the local constable, and the constable came down, and as soon as the constable took a closer look, he saw the pool of blood that was piling up below her. And that's how Marianne Nichols was discovered. She was actually seen an hour previous, and the description of the person who did it and the subsequent killings actually created a profile for the police that it was a wealthier person with a background in medicine who actually was Jack the Ripper. And we will go over more of that as we keep talking about it. But in the meantime, let me get you some comments. And I want to start with Sweet Pea. Sweet, what do you think of Deb's poem?
Chilling.
Thank you, Jay.
Absolutely chilling. Her details, her imagery, her horrific voice in this was amazing. You're very calm and collected, as if so accepting of what was going on. It was really brilliantly written, Deb. I cannot tell you how one must feel. I have to say geniuses think alike, because I too wrote from the victim's point of view, but on a different level than you did. I kind of went more mentally than the physical side of this. You did absolutely wonders with the kill, every sharp, you know, slice and everything like that. I thought it was stunning. Very well done. Very, very well done.
Thank you, my sweet. Appreciate that.
That was a great comment. Wayne, what did you think about that?
I said, move over, Hitchcock. Dave has arrived. I'm too scared to go to bed. It was a great job on all the horror of his poem. Made me cringe. Well, it's an amazing poem. And you were just in 2016. That's unbelievable. It's a great job. You did a great job back then. Amazing poem. Good read. Loved it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Before I go into what I want to say, let's go ahead and welcome in A.P. Taylor.
Hi.
Hey,
A.P. J.C.I. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I don't know if you had to hear or read Deb's piece, but we just had Deb read for us.
Just literally called in. You picked me up just as I hit the boards, J.C.A., so I missed it.
Okay, no problem. No problem. You can catch it later. But what I wanted to say is, there, like I said, there was a great deal of profiling done by the police when they mentioned that they think that the person had a medical background. The reason that they were saying that the possibility of a medical background is because of the way the person removed the internal organs of his victims. But here's what I got to say, and when you take a look at it, are there any other professions out there that understand anatomy? Even without an education, could they understand anatomy? And I'm saying, when you take a look at it, another possibility that people were looking at is, what if this person were a butcher? And I also got to say, what if this person was a taxidermy? All of those professions in themselves, when you take a look at them, they all have a basic understanding. You know, the doctor in the medical has an advanced understanding, but the actual taxidermy and butcher, they have a basic understanding of anatomy. There's, you know, when you're talking about people who cook and they use the different types of organs in cooking, they have a basic understanding where everything is. So bottom line is that that profiling wasn't necessarily accurate to a T. Therefore, you didn't necessarily need to look at that person as being upper class either, because anybody could have been a butcher, anybody could have been a taxidermist, or any of those types of professions that could have been associated with a knowledge of anatomy. And there's another idea that bottom line, he was just a sicko, and he enjoyed doing what he did to the victims themselves. So when you take a look at this, I'll go over a little bit further about one of the suspects, especially since there is a book written about him and talking about the understanding of it and everything like that. But as we go along here, we're going to look at different aspects of Jack the Ripper and try to come up with a basic idea of what the person was like, what's the possibility of a profession or to that effect. We're not going to actually go over and say, hey, I believe it's this guy. Because when you take a look at the Ripper, in essence, over 150 suspects have been named through different theories by Ripperologists. And yes, that is a real term, a Ripperologist. And I love it. So what we will do right now is, AP, I'm going to let you go ahead and post your poem, if you got one for
Thank
us.
Thank you. I do. I wrote one specially, JCA. I was looking back and seeing which poems I had, and I just noticed on it, I'll write a new one. So it is up on the board now. This is Rapier Blade, and it goes a little bit like this. Just steps away, clatter the carriages, on a busy main thoroughfare in London. Yet metal once more life disparages. Muffled screams leaves another gun. A rapier knife, his choice of weapon, sharply polished, the skin dissolves tight. By distant flame, bodies stutter upon. A burnished dark blade, a glow white. By soft hands born with experience, young women towards past eyes stare. Gruesomely gathered within silence, lives dissolved into ruby, souls bare. History deigned a secret killer born. Authorities three steps behind his flight. His arteries and veins ripped as torn, scarlet traces revealed by first light. Here, furtively dallied over this place, from the shadows of fog and warm beer, each evening a darkness sharp trace, sword in the outlands. Here, far in you, in poem.
Well, one thing is I really like this. When you take a look at the neighborhood, Whitechapel itself, yeah, it is a major thoroughfare, that's what I'm looking for, in London. And not only was it like that, but it was also a port town. So you had all of those sounds, the carriages, dogs barking. It was the time of steamer ships. So you had the smokestacks and bellowing. So you had all of this sound. Is there a chance that no one heard a scream? Absolutely, there's a chance no one heard a scream. The timing of the killings were kind of ingenious. This person was actually a smart killer. That's why I personally think that before he got to Whitechapel, there's a good chance that he has already done killings. There's a good chance that he was at it for a while, whether it be attacks or killings or whatever. There is actually two attacks that were mentioned that were in Whitechapel earlier in 1888 that some people credit Jack the Ripper to. where one person actually survived, another person died later, but they said it was natural causes and not because of the attack itself. So when you take a look at all of that, I love the way that you brought us into the streets and you gave us those sounds, the clatter of the carriages. I love that. I love that because, you know, when a man and a lady of the night were seen in the streets, people didn't really care much. They didn't really look at that and bat an eye. So when a man is seen possibly holding a dead woman's body in an alleyway, it could be looking like she's making a little money there. So I really love the way that you portrayed that. Wonderful, wonderful job. Sweet Pea, would you like to add to that? What do you think of AP's poem?
AP, you have the ability just to give me chills, to put me right there in that space and everything that's going on around there, and just to think of what was going on around there in that moment in time. And for the ability for somebody to get away with it. But not only is it that time, but even now, people get away with it because either as humans, we don't pay attention, we don't care, or we don't want to be a part of it, or it's not my problem. I don't know if things have really changed that much. I know we're talking about this madman and this slasher and all of that, but a step forward through all these years, and, you know, we have our own killers. We have a list of serial killers from Jack the Ripper on, but we always have these scenarios, you know, who's not paying attention, who's not watching, how did we know, did we know, and it's just the world around us that we're so focused on our own world that we can't even see out the side of the corner of our eyes because everything that's going around, especially for me, dogs barking, whatever, you know, how much of this should we be paying attention? And if we were, we actually ever stop the madman?
Thanks, Wade.
And Wayne, what did you think?
I did a great job. It's a hypnotic read. The way you read it, it's kind of captured the reader. You brought the character's life in a one-line octopus of the said, lives dissolved into ruby, souls bare. The way this is written brings great mystery into this poem, where the readers want to know more at the end of it. I want to know more information. And it's professionally composed, and you did a great job, AP. I like it a lot.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you.
Thank you, AP. I don't know if you can hang around for a little bit more of Jack the Ripper, but if you have to go, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Josie. I've got stupid work this week. I'm up to Sydney twice, so I'm going to be like a bit like a pinball this week. But anyway, we'll make sense of it and get through to the end of the week, and then pretty much I'm a lot more sensible through to Christmas. So it's my last stupid week, so I'm with the ball.
Take care of yourself.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like again. Thank
okay.
you for calling.
We'll talk soon. No, thanks, JCA. Pleasure. Talk soon.
All right. Now, what I would like to go over next about Jack the Ripper is the fact that they account five murders for him. Now, I mentioned the possibility of there being attacks and murders prior, but I also don't think that Jack the Ripper himself quit killing. I think there's a possibility that he kept killing, but how and where? And it's very fascinating because what you have is you have a person, the last of the five, the Canico Five, was 9 November 1888. So you're talking about a bunch of people that the time period. And the next thing that popped up that was very interesting was in January of 1889, a newspaper report came out about some sailors telling a story in Jamaica. And what happened is there was a prostitute down there that was killed, that they say was killed. I can't 100% guarantee that this was just not a story itself, but the timeline was quite interesting. They said that the first of three murders happened on 28 November 1888. And I really at this point don't know if this was confirmed or not, or was just written off of a tale. But what they said, this person, this prostitute was killed in a very similar way. On the clothes she was wearing, there was actually a note written, and it said, "Jack the Ripper, seven more." Now, to me, that is a possible tale. I take a look at the time frame, the last murder in Whitechapel, 9 November. This happened on 28 November. Could it have been? Yes. Why? Because at the time, steam cargo ships, actually could travel the Atlantic Ocean in a week or so. So could this person have left London and gone straight to Jamaica? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there wasn't much press about this particular incident. They say that the authorities tried to cover it up, and you'll see that this was a common thread in many of the places that these murders were at, is that the authorities would turn around and say, no, it's not Jack the Ripper. It doesn't deal with this. And, that's fine that they think this. But what if it was? And that's what we have to go over. Now, a more credible and possible area was in January of 1889. Almost identical crimes to Jack the Ripper happened in Managua, Nicaragua, and it was called the Managua Ripper. And a lot of people say that this was actually Jack the Ripper. Six prostitutes killed, all over the newspapers there. The press went nuts over this. This really and truthfully happened in Nicaragua. And to say that it wasn't a possibility that, hey, Jack the Ripper actually went from London there to Nicaragua within, say, it would have been less than a month. It would have been less than a month, and there's a very good possibility that this happened. Now, there is then another Whitechapel murder, and that happened on 17 July 1889. The woman's name was Alice McKenzie, and she was killed in a very similar way to the other five victims. But there were some telltales that did not convince the chief forensic officer to say that this was actually Jack the Ripper. One for the original forensic officer that was looking at this said, yeah, this should be the sixth Jack the Ripper, victim, but it was overridden. Now, was this the actual case where this wasn't Jack the Ripper, or was this another cover-up to try to keep the press down? That's what we have to look at in a lot of these. Sweepy, in your mind, in your head, what type of person do you think Jack the Ripper was in himself? Sweet, are you on mute?
Of course I am. I think Jack the Ripper was very narcissistic. I think that he was well-bred. I think he was the type of man that thought he could fool anybody. I think he thought that he could have everything he wanted. I think he probably had a wife and several lovers or girlfriends on the side. I think he thought that he was the great actor. Like, it didn't matter what he did or what he went out and did. He could be the person that could fool anyone and get away with it. He truly believed that about himself, that no matter what he did or how he did it, he would never be caught, he would never be blamed for it, and he could talk himself out of everything. And every person on the planet would believe him. He was the good guy, the good soldier, the nicest guy. You know, everybody described him as that. The nicest guy. He was the nicest guy. And yet, inside, he felt evil and wrong, and he went out and did that because that's how he felt about himself.
Now, is it a possibility that, so you think that he lived in the Whitechapel area or near the Whitechapel area, or do you think this was an outsider who came in?
I think he was a prominent citizen somewhere in London, either a surgeon, a police officer, something that borders on that personality, like where you're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. I really think he had something to do with doctors, lawyers, or something. Because, you know, those personalities where if you get one answer wrong, you're on the good side. You get one wrong answer wrong, you're on the bad side. So I think he teetered on that, those types of professions.
That's very interesting. Well, before I ask Wayne his opinion, I'm gonna kind of go over what you said because I have an interesting person that people have named as a potential suspect. And there is a slight medical background on that. But let's welcome first Hatter. Hey, Hatter, how you doing?
Hey, I'm just fine. Thank you. Been late. Couldn't find my phone.
No problem. Hey, Wayne, what type of person do you think Jack the Ripper was?
I pretty much know who it was. It was a Central American war surgeon who was traveling to England for a meeting or some kind of conference, and while he was there, he killed the people. And then on the way back, he stopped to Nicaragua, stopped to vacation in the island. He stopped at, and then he went on to Nicaragua, where he was from, killed six more people.
That is a great call, and that's a possibility too. You know that we don't know.
If he was out in the war, he knew how to take a body and cut it up out in the open. Out in the open without having a table set up and everything. It had to be somebody that was out in the war doing it or something that had to be access their bodies like that, I think. You can just walk off, a sergeant can walk off and go in the street and cut nobody real easy. I don't believe. I think it takes somebody to head practice out in the field.
That is absolutely fascinating. I really like that particular concept that you mentioned because you put them in Central America to begin with, and then you give them a way to get to the UK and England and Whitechapel, and then you give them a way to come back through Jamaica and into Nicaragua. So that's a very good possibility right there. You've played it well in that. I know that the authorities around that time often thought that this was a copycat situation. They never verified. I can't absolutely 100% verify the Jamaica story, but I can the Nicaragua story. And the authorities have always, especially no matter what, they call a lot of these copycat killings. And this is probably where many of the copycat killings within modern day they started talking about. So that is a fascinating theory, and I kind of like that theory because it plays well on at least those part of the murders. Hatter, have you at all looked into Jack the Ripper and what type of person he may have been?
Well, I did remember the incision marks. They pretty much know that this guy had medical training, right? He was a surgeon of some sort.
Well, and like I said earlier, are there other professions that could have done that type of incision?
Sure.
And I was saying that there's a possibility that this person was a butcher or that this person was a taxidermy. You know, there are other potential professions that this person could have been in.
Absolutely. Veterinarian. Chef.
Ultimately, the way I look at it, there is an idea, there is a theory out there that this person was H.H. Holmes. And H.H. Holmes was the person that created the murder hotel in Chicago. Before he built the murder hotel, he was actually living in the Whitechapel area. He called himself Dr. H.H. Holmes, had a slight medical background, but the main thing about him is he was a huge swindler. He was a con artist. And a lot of the times what he would do is he would rob graves and get organs and sell the organs from the graves on the black market. So from what I understand of H.H. Holmes and have looked at H.H. Holmes, he never got his hands dirty. But he has a relative who says that he has the diary of H.H. Holmes, and H.H. Holmes actually admitted in the diary that he was Jack the Ripper, and he was working with an accomplice over in Whitechapel. I don't think H.H. Holmes is actually the person that would get his hands dirty within the actual hands-on murders himself. He would wait till the body's dead and then remove the organs. That's what he did in the murder hotel in Chicago. He created a place where people would go in. They would check in, but they would never check out because he would go ahead and have poison gas pumped into their rooms and then shoots for the bodies to go into the basement where he would remove their organs and sell the organs on the black. He was a serial killer, yes, but I don't think his hands came into that situation completely. You know, I take a look at him and I don't see him getting his hands dirty in those type of situations. So in my understanding, yes, H.H. Holmes could have had an accomplice in the Whitechapel area. And I often think, okay, you have H.H. Holmes with an accomplice there. He may have taught him how to do the removal of these organs. What if this person then had a bloodlust and actually went crazy and decided to kill more and more people? What if that's the situation? And there are so many ideas and concepts in that regard. So what we're going to do right now is I am going to go into Wayne's poem, and I'm going to go ahead and play the audio for Wayne's poem, and then we can go more into Jack the Ripper.
This is more of a break here for a little comedy break.
Oh, no problem. I'm excited about it.
This poem is called
Rippers come in many sizes. Rippers come in many sizes. They are sneaky with surprises. Not any of them you should trust. They can be free or communist. There once was a Ripper nobody knew. Killed four before he was through. In his 20s, he loved to visit Moscow. Studied killing, thought he knew how. He would kill his victims to see how it would feel. Would be satisfying after each kill. He went out and killed, 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 and killed again. But he was captured. Killing came to an end. This Slasher studied killing, kind of like Jay. I still worry about Jay to this day. If he asked, I know I won't go play. If I'm going to die, I'm not going to die his way. Back to the contest to end this game. Let me tell you the Ripper's name. Brian Christopher Koberger. Liked to make his own hamburger. He was one that killed four students in Moscow, Idaho. They wanted to give him a death penalty, if you want to know. Ian?
Oh, I had to mute myself because I was laughing hard at that. Oh, man, this is great. Now, Jesus Christ, man. Oh, you got me. I can't even think right now. It's great. There's something I wanted to say, but I loved it. I loved it. It was crazy. Rippers come in many sizes. They are sneaky with surprises. God. Oh, you're crazy, Wayne. I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, this is great. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, this is pretty good. Wayne killed his victims to see how it would feel. He'd be satisfied after each kill. Kill, kill. What was the other? The Slasher studied killing, kind of like Jay. Don't worry about Jay today.
Wait, what did you say?
Yeah, that was good. Nice job, Wayne.
Thank you.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. What do you think?
Well, no, nothing like killer humor from our mad poet killer, you know, Wayne Jett. Since I think he's killed most of us, me in a very
yep.
Slasher way, I might add. So,
yes,
I was slashed and dashed by Mr. Wayne Jett myself. So, Wayne, what were you doing around Whitechapel about this time? Oh, wait, not that old. I know it wasn't you. But this is great. I think it's hilarious. You always come out so funny and have that great humor break for us. This is great. I loved it. As usual.
Thank you, there, sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wayne is the reincarnation of Jack the Ripper. Okay, I got it.
No, not at all. Wayne was killed by me and Pretty Bird anyway, so it's all good.
Well, he killed me,
too. I think one time at a drinker, I killed Jay, too.
Oh.
He did. He killed me, too, so, yeah, that was great. So, now, I'm going back to this concept that, hey, what if H.H. Holmes taught someone to be the Ripper, taught someone how to kill, taught someone, and this person turned around and became bloodlust and absolutely got kind of sucked into this wanting to kill, kill, kill. Now, there is a theory out there, and I think it's a very, very solid theory that there's a possibility that Jack the Ripper was actually a sailor for a German cargo company. Because when you take a look at it, Managua, Nicaragua, is one of their ports. London, Whitechapel was one of their ports. around New York City, New Jersey area was one of their ports. Berlin was one of their ports. And all of these places in a certain time frame actually fit some of the cargo schedules for the particular shipping companies. So here's the concept. Oh, I've heard that in the profiling of Jack the Ripper, they thought it was somebody local. Main reason they thought it was local is because the person knew the streets well. But here's what I got to say. If you work at a different city, if you work at a different port of call, per se, are you going to know that particular city well? And I think that you would. Like, say, since I used to live down in Charlotte, North Carolina, but I would go to Atlanta a lot. I got to know Atlanta very well. So when you take a look at that, what is it not a true possibility if someone were from a shipping company and they came to London and they frequented the Whitechapel area and the particular business that these victims were in, would they not know the streets well? And I would think they would. I would think they would. Because when you take a look in the time frame, it goes well together. 9 November, 88, Whitechapel. 28 November, 88, Jamaica. January, 89, Nicaragua. 17 July, 89, back at Whitechapel. October, 89, Germany. Then there was one that was in the Great Lakes area, but I guess the shipping company came through all the locks and ended up in Hurley, Wisconsin in April of 1890. That one I questioned, but it was 11 April 1890, then 28 April 1890 back in Germany, then in Switzerland in December of 1890, April of 91, Jersey City, October 91, back to Berlin, January 92, back in Jersey, April of 92, back in Berlin, and then the last one, August 95, in New York City. All of the killings were very similar, but this is where the authorities used the term copycat, 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 because they were like, no, this, it can't be the same person. It can't be. There's no way, you know, it ended in Whitechapel. They're similar, but they're not the same. The way I look at it, like I said, I can't verify the Jamaica one, but I can't absolutely verify the rest of them. They happened. Were they the same person? I don't know. Is it a possibility that they were the same person? Yes. Yes, it's a very good possibility. And there is a book out there that actually points to every single one except the Jamaica killings and the latter Whitechapel killing to Jack the Ripper. And they do say that he was possibly a German cargo sailor. And I think it's a fascinating thing to take a look at. And I think it's something that that is very telling, and it's a very good possibility. So now that you guys know a little bit about the H.H. Holmes theory, the theory of the sailor, and the profiling that actually took place, I'm gonna ask you, are these
Now, I've already got Wayne's view that the Central South American and the London ones were connected. And I think that's a great theory. He gave a theory as to who it was a war surgeon down there. And I think that's a great theory. I think that theory works well. But I'm going to ask.
If it was one person, it had to be somebody on a ship, some from somewhere. It had to be somebody on a ship that's traveling around unloading, loading, and picking up cargo. It would have to be just, it almost have to be, it seems like to me.
I've been very impressed. This book in itself, I can't recall what the name is, but the theory within the book mentions an individual by the name of Carl Feigenbaum, and he was on a particular ship that actually went to all of these places. And the crazy part about it is that the author actually could trace the particular ship at these ports. And he went back, and it was pretty fascinating how he was able to do that. So knowing this type of situation, does it affect your thought pattern on who Jack the Ripper is, or are you still inclined to believe what you believe? Sweet. Do you think it could have been someone other than what you thought it was? Sweet, are you on mute again?
I'm always on mute because I have crazy dogs. First off, I think that the person you're talking about has the same characteristics of what I'm talking about. I actually saw the documentary on the Murder Hotel and the whole idea of the Jack the Ripper, that whole concept. I kind of felt that way a while. I liked the idea more of the sailor or somebody in the cargo world, more of like a higher up, not just a lone sailor, but maybe someone, a captain, a ship's doctor, a ship. I never even thought of that pattern, but that I lean towards versus someone settling in the United States. But somebody of massive travel or somebody that could possibly do that. That's a theory I have not played upon. But I find that interesting, that it could be somebody, a high-ranking officer that's in the medical field or something like that, that can travel very easily from port to port to port without any knowledge of anybody even knowing who he was or what he was doing. And to know their ports, especially ports of, you know, bars and whores and all of that would be even more familiar to them.
Exactly. And I figured out, I went ahead and back and based off of the actual travel time of cargo ships back around that time period, a steamer vessel could actually travel the Atlantic Ocean in 7 days. So there is a very good possibility that all of this actually works out.
Yeah, that fascinated me.
To me too. I was like, wow, this could be. One of the websites that I find very fascinating is an actual website that brings you through depths of Jack the Ripper. If you Google search Jack the Ripper, you're going to find it. And they have, it's called Jack the Ripper Tours. Okay. And they give all of this possibility. They have blog posts on all of this information. And I think it's just absolutely fascinating when you take a look at it, because it is, I think, more that people have really created the picture of who they think Jack the Ripper is right there. Now, Wayne, you said that it's a possibility of a war surgeon. What's the chance yes. that it is actually a sailor?
I think it could be that if that ship was there in every one of every instance, was there every one of the instances, had to be the guy on the ship. I mean, it's, the odds of that not having not been him would be it'd be outstanding if that ship was there and all those people was there and went to everyone ever sight and wasn't one of them. It'd be almost impossible. It ought to be almost impossible. Somebody on that ship that did it.
Exactly, and it's not necessarily that one particular person either, because it could have been absolutely anybody on that ship.
Yeah, it could be someone on that ship.
And Hatter, what do you think of that theory?
Well, if you had a certain kind of boat that he could be on, let's say to make those dates, if you lined him up and he had time sequence, it wouldn't be hard to trace a ship if you were like a faster ship, a scooter or the tall ships. I don't know. I never thought of it as being somebody that wasn't a citizen. I thought for sure it was somebody that lived there. But I don't know.
That's why I wanted to bring you guys out of that concept and broaden your perspective, because there are actually quite a few names that get put out there that are not British citizens. So yeah, I think that it's great that this is actually making people like look at it in a different direction, in a different light.
Yeah, you would have logs of the ship who was out on leave, who was off the ship still at that time.
Absolutely.
He's a sailor.
Yeah, they were able to, like I said, there was one person that was able to track a particular ship that went to these ports.
Okay.
Most of the ports, yeah, absolutely. But he actually gave a particular name, and I wouldn't necessarily give a name, because any of the people on the ship could have been, heck, they could have been working together. Who knows?
Well, you have to narrow it down to his ability to use knives and surgical, so that would limit.
I understand what you're saying there. Now then I bring in H.H. Holmes. What if this person happens to be the apprentice that is mentioned, or the accomplice that's mentioned in H.H. Holmes' diary?
So you think possibly he was caught and the murders went on, so they didn't think it was somebody that was incarcerated?
Exactly. I don't think that this person was incarcerated. I don't think this person died. I think there's a chance that the murders went on, especially that Whitechapel murder. Because, like I said, the way that the doctors handle it and the forensics handle it was pretty interesting. The doctors who did the autopsies were kind of on separate pages. So that's how I looked at it. Well, let's go to Sweet Pea here and let her read her poem.
Okay, this is the Ichor of Kings. I bleed the ichor of blasphemous kings, promising castles from liquor-soaked lips, leaving your last two pence as my treasure. Skirts lifted to feed the belly and fend off the cold, for a blanket, a spout, a bed, a friend, one night, not alone. The story of my death was written on the day I was born. Long skirt ladies teach Bible verses and pray for our mortal souls, hoping to keep their husbands at home. I listened to the footsteps echo behind me. I hoped a husband had roamed. When he touched my shoulder, a scream came from my chest. I wrapped my arms around him, a friend, a man I knew to trust. His smile was a blessing until the shine of his knife sliced into my breast. Falling onto the sidewalk, I watched him butcher my body with devious intent. Mutilations of my body, confusions or confessions showed anger in his quest. I thought death would come sooner, but I watched him as he sliced my flesh. Mumbling about infections and cures for our perversions, a tinker toy of amusement, I felt empowered by his attention. For dawn would reveal my name on headlines of tomorrow's papers. Cry not for the slashes on my face, the final mutilations of my carcass. Wash my blood from the sidewalk and write your stories of the whores killed in Whitechapel. Be truthful in your spite. Hypocritical Christians bearing gifts of sorrow, turning your backs as we begged for food and shelter. I did not die as your martyr. You share the sin of shame. There is honesty in the slice of his knife. We feed together, symbiotic creatures in pain. He releases me, and my last breath, the madman in hell. And poems.
Oh, that was brilliant. I love that. You know what the amazing part about the five recognized murders of Jack the Ripper was that four of them were out in the streets. Three of those four actually had the telltale signs of the mutilation that Jack the Ripper caused. But one of them didn't, and that one was in 30 September 88. There were two murders on the night. The first one gave the telltale signs of the slash that he did on the neck, but it didn't have the mutilation, so people think that somebody came up and interrupted him. So he took off, and within 45 minutes later, another woman was dead, but this time to all the telltale signs of the Ripper. And the last murder that I find fascinating was the murder that happened not on the street. Now, it was Mary Jane Kelly actually happened in her apartment. And it was the worst of all of the murders, to the point she wasn't even recognizable. And the fact that the one was interrupted and then that particular one was... per se, not interrupted, was so in-depth, they think that the Ripper had time to do everything he wanted to do at that point. And that's why it was so brutal what it delivered. And I think it's just to think of it, I don't recommend people looking up the actual crime scene photos because there are actual crime scene photos in these Jack the Ripper cases. That's why it became so media. That's like what media frenzy happened, because this was one of the first serial killers that hopped into the media and hopped in with photos. It was crazy. Wayne, what did you think of Sweet's poem?
It's a death of a half-breed.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't hear.
What was that, Wayne?
It's a death of a half-breed woman. You have to admire her in a final moment. Being the first person that spoke, she had so much grace in her death and gives so much detail that was absolutely worth it. It's a great job, I think. I like the line she wrote, wash my blood on the sidewalks and watch the stories of the whores. Even the last seconds of her life, she's still rebelling. And, I don't know, she's in her ground. She's what she's done. Great job, AP, sweet. Love you.
Thank you. Love you.
Hatter, what did you think?
Sweet, did we write Progressive Show about Jack Ripper? And did you also have in that one about witnessing somebody butchering you?
I had a different Jack the Ripper poem where I made Jack the Ripper a female.
You're muted.
So,
oh, is that it? Okay. It seems like I remember. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that part where you witness him slice.
Yeah, I have.
Can't even say it.
Yeah, I have a couple of them. But yeah, there's one where I made Jack the Ripper the female, which is totally outside the realm of.
Guess what? There are theories that Jack the Ripper was a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have 150 potential suspects, people have named as Jack the Ripper, of course you're going to have both genders in there. So, yeah.
Now, didn't they have a modern-day profiler? Put their two cents in on who this guy might be.
There's several of them. The one that came up with the sailor was actually a former police officer, investigator. So that's what he came up with. But a lot of the times when you talk about these ripperologists, they come into their investigation already thinking who did it. And what they try to do is they try to prove that person did it. And that sometimes is a flawed way of thinking. You know, you got to come, when you come into this, like when I read the information about the axe murder cases around the 1900s in the United States, you are also dealing with a situation that you had a person do an investigation, and they did an incredible investigation, but they went in there not expecting to find a suspect. I think that is the best type of investigation, when someone goes into it not expecting someone, and then a name pops up based off of everything that happened. And I think that is the best way to go about this, is if someone were to investigate this with out the concept of, hey, this is who I think is going to be it, so let me prove that this person did it. And I think that's where...
The investigator that suggested a sailor, did he have ship logs? Was he able to include those?
Yes,
like
he was. Yes, he was.
Okay.
He was able to include everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, I put my theory up as a female if you want me to read it. If not, no big deal.
No, absolutely. Go on. We'll go ahead and let you do this. Then we'll put we'll have Hatter read his, and then I'll finish off with the poem I just read today.
Okay. This is called Jack. Jack is history's Merlot and cigar moments in a gentleman's conversation. A scarlet letter warning for women to keep proper reputation. I am the story of the final execution and the truth of why no one knew him. Warnings are never heeded by the drunk and the hungry, working the streets for a morsel, a pound, or a penny. Lady Luck rides, I will not be the one in a million. He was the vessel and I was the treasure he carried. Belligerent hands relaxed to swaddle the neck of a swan. His footsteps softened as he followed the path of moonlight shadows. Red brick walkways led to open doors and silent rooms. where he tied my body to a bed covered by piss-yellow grinning thread. And with gentle fingers, Jack brushed my ginger hair across the pillow. Jack sharpened the scalpel, the knives, the instruments of his trade. He lined them up in order of their size. He took pride in the display. Then he sat and studied drawings covered in crimson stains. From his black satchel came a long stem red rose. He laid it at my feet and kissed both my quivering cheeks. And his saffron eyes aflame began to rise. Jack stood over me and whispered goodbye, my lovely friend. And to my lips he raised a glass of blackberry wine. I closed my eyes and prayed to God to shield me from the pain. The first slice was quick and dove into my chest, turning piss yellow linens into a dull-colored rust. Before I could scream, another stab took my breath. In a haze of confusion, I heard a strange giggle. In the fog of disillusion, there stood a woman, knife in hand, carving out my middle. Jack stood back and watched his pint-sized psycho play, cutting out my organs to explore, map, and display. She was the madman. He was just her toy. As knives dulled and sunbeam smiled, she began to yawn. She whispered in my ear, I think it's time I learned about men. In the final moments of my life, I knew Jack didn't see it.
Really like that. Now, I'm going to actually go into the theory that Jack the Ripper was a female. How many people know who Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is?
Yeah. Sherlock Holmes.
I heard of him.
Sherlock Holmes. He was the author of Sherlock Holmes. He was the one that came up with the original theory that the Ripper might have been a woman, because of the fact a woman can pretend to be a midwife and be seen in public with bloody clothing without arousing suspicion. Yes. And they were actually thinking that convicted murderer Mary Piercy during that time was possibly Jack the Ripper. And of course, sweet, you had to turn around and add your elegant touch to it and make this such a
diary.
Scarlet Widow type of feel. I love it. So this was a great, great way to put it. So Wayne, what did you think of this one?
Well, I'll just read when I first heard it was back in 2 years ago, and in September, I think over two years ago. And I said, "Damn, this is too much for me." Now I'm hungry. I'm not joking. I said, "Now I'm hungry. I'm just joking. This is horrifying. I'm speechless. I can't believe you're dead. Damn it! I hope the Burberry wine was chilled. This scares me, and I'm screaming, 'Don't do it!'" But my sound was turned down. Damn, this is the best poem I ever hated of yours. I hate to hear of yours. Damn, great good poem there, sweet. That's what I said. It was a long time ago, and it's a good poem back then. It's a good poem now. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hatter, what do you think about that, and what do you think about the theory that Jack the Ripper might be one?
Yeah, you know, live by the sword, die by it. Maybe the accomplice took care of Jack, huh? The one I was thinking of, though, sweet, would have been a lot older than this one.
I'd have to go back, way back.
Yeah, it'd been a while. But very good, very good. Dark.
All right, Hatter, your poem is on the board.
Okay. Mine's also called Jack. Oop, I made it. Okay. Pull it up. Yeah. Okay. It goes like this. It was then I knew that it was true. Jack was back and we could not find him. With nobody in question, it's difficult to mention, but we live in the same city he's in. Silence hidden between foggy mist, footfalls in cadence to a constant drip of whispers with weapons hung at his side, stalking in circles, still trying to hide. Echoes read backwards to remember a kiss, slashing in shadows to find what he'd missed. She wears the face of those departed, lying in state like the brokenhearted. Little is known when you cut to the bone. That's when they said it all started. Wind sheared and ragged, blown through the alleys, counting the tag that runs up the tally. Nameless are those that repeat the tales from the cliffs of Dover to the Canterbury Tales. With rage set afire by deep, dark desires, blood runs deep down this by the light street desires. I'm sorry. Demonic places that scar the faces of those that set free to bleed. Sounds of the towns that die underground, dropping down to his knees, begging forgiveness of those that witness the blood that runs to the sea. Screams are heard in gurgling words, thinking it might be me.
Of course. Almost written in a song. You know what I mean? His cadence, his rhyming, and then for you to grab everything. I love that. It was then I knew that it was true. Jack was back, and we could not find him. I love that beginning. You know, you take it from the top, and that's almost what I think of when I talked about the murder of Alice McKenzie. And the fact that the first coroner went ahead and said that, yeah, this should be the sixth Jack the Ripper case. He's back. But when he got vetoed and overridden by his superior, I think that they pretty much wanted to go ahead and kind of silence, suppress, and silence all of that, and try to say that no, it's not the Ripper. Forget about it. We're not gonna say it's the Ripper. So that's what you got in that situation. I think it was a brilliant way to put that. Sweet, what'd you think?
Well, it's so Jay Hatter. It's just another moment, amazing poetic moment. That represents darkness and faithfulness, and you know, it your blood runs cold. Things not heard in gurgling words, thinking it might be me. I mean, that alone, you know, just ends this poem brilliantly, and you just go, "Holy crap! Is it me, or is it? You have to love him." Great.
How do I know so much about it? Maybe it's me.
No, it's me. Yeah, I loved it. I loved how you brought that. And like I said, the cadence within it really went well. And bottom line is, right now, I'd like to just give everybody a thanks who called in and read their poetry. Deb, AP, thank you, Hatter, thank you, Sweet, thank you, Wayne. What I'm going to do is now read the little poem that I wrote today called Ripper, and to send us off. So here we go. Clocks chime and cargo boats bellow. Fog is dab on cobblestone lanes. Whitechapel fears from cuts and crags, but is this the sands and sanity's drains? Blood on the curbside mixes with mildew. Bobby sees pool beneath Nichols' neck. Crimson flow feverish through cracks and cricks. Press nips the news at the rhythms that wreck.
swirl, stir seas, Atlantic towns sweating, Ripper hands spread to lands, wicked waves, countries court news of murders abounding. Could Jack have joust in the callous skin craves? Mainstream mixing with Ripper roost rousing, unseen soup of sipping death stream, in stiffness shadows, blades moon beaming, unsolved in the pages of the Ripper's red dream. Poem.
Red dream.
That was incredible, JCA. And I know you want to send us out, but you don't get to send us out with me commenting. Could Jack have joust in callous skin craves? Incredible line. Unsolved in the pages of Ripper's red dream. Another incredible line. Blood on the curbside mixes with mildew. You have such a way with words, the way you put them together, the way you just mixed your metaphors and your imagery and how you make people think when you put things together. Your show tonight has been fabulous. I've really enjoyed it. Spot on. Great way to have people think about the Ripper and the way things have gone. Now I have all kinds of new things to float through my mind. Hatter, your thoughts on this poem before we let JCA say goodbye to us?
Oh, say that again? I'm sorry.
Your thoughts on this poem before you let JCA run away and say goodbye to us?
Yeah, Jay, you write story line favor. I mean, it's, I don't know how else to say that. You complete the story, which makes it easy to read, easy to comprehend, and you're thorough. Very good.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys for sticking around to the end. I hope that what I've accomplished tonight is when we look at different type of crimes, when we look at different types of situations, we're not pigeonholed into one particular way of thinking. There could be different types of scenarios that could fit the bill. I mean, we looked at many, many different things from H.H. Holmes tonight to the possibility that we were dealing with a sailor, even a woman, as Jack the Ripper. You know, there's a lot of good theories out there. But ultimately, this was the first major unsolved case, I believe, in modern history. And to this day, we don't know who Jack the Ripper is. Will we ever know who Jack the Ripper is? There's a good chance we won't. And with that, I bid you all adieu. And I thank everybody who was part of this and listening out in Blog Talk Land. So good night, everybody.
All right. Thanks. See you guys.
See you guys. Thanks. Bye.